I'm going to go check on this real quick, by the way.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
This is unusual. Like
Go ahead. Take a pause. As long as you need, man.
This is not
Yeah, seriously,
unusual.
Take your time. Take your time, yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pursuing Pixels. My name is Kevin Portelli, and I'm here tonight with John Hines.
Hey there.
And Randall Nollery.
Hey, folks.
And we are back, as always, to talk about some video games. We got a little bit of an early start tonight, but we're actually starting recording at the usual time that we start because we started chatting for a little too long. But that's always a good sign. Before, I feel like it's been a little while since we've actually sat down for a session here, like almost a month here. We'll just dive right into some video games here. Got kind of just some random stuff, at least that I've been playing, almost like a save it for the cast intro kind of thing. I know I've mentioned multiple times now at this point, like I'm getting situated in my new apartment here, just getting kind of used to like having everything hooked up and at the ready. And like, okay, so now I'm like a little more like where I'm always like scrolling my Switch wish list pretty much almost every day, to be honest, because they update how many. I'll like kind of just go to like the great deals tab and see if like the number of games currently on sale goes like way up or down or anything. I'm like, okay, they've clearly added a new like batch of games on sale, and I'll cruise through and pick some things up. So one game that I did fire up the other day, and I've just like anything that's like $2 at this point, like I'm like, if it's $2 and it's on my wish list, I either buy it or I take it off my wish list if I don't want to buy it. Cause I'm like, at this point, if I'm not buying it at $2,
that's a good point.
I don't need to have it on my wish list, you know? And there's a few exceptions where I'm like, you know, I'm not going to play this right now, but I might buy this down the road. But
if I'm not going to burn gold points on it, then it's probably it.
Yep. That's such a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've just been kind of picking up any random game where I'm like, you know what, I've been waiting out, sitting on this one for a while. One game that I did mention like before when we were just kind of chit-chatting that I won't really talk about right now, and this was a little more than $2, but I picked up Inscription, which is a game that's just been on my wish list for the longest time, or at least since it ever came out. I think it was initially like a Game Jam game called something else, but that's like how the game started. And this is a game that I have a feeling that one of the two of you might end up playing in the future. So I'm like, let's just keep it as spoiler-ish free as possible. No pressure to ever pick it up again or me to ever talk about it again. But I'm just like, it's definitely like I was saying before we started, I was like, it's almost like I'm playing the game, but the game is also kind of playing me a little bit. Like it's real cryptic and mysterious and just very cool so far. So I've been like enjoying, that's like the first game I've kind of felt like, okay, let me put on the headphones. Let me turn out most of the lights here and get like kind of sucked into this game. But like otherwise I've just been kind of like diving around, and mostly like kind of like because I've been getting back into doing some streams lately, I've been kind of like, I never like really going into a game when I'm streaming like fully blind unless I know 100% like, hey, this is from a developer I really like. Even when it is, I still like to kind of just check the audio levels, play a couple levels, just get the hang of the controls so I'm not like fidgeting with things for the first, you know, 2 or 3 minutes of a stream or whatever. So I've been like firing up some random games that I picked up, and I picked up this game called Agalos. I was just mentioning it in the Discord the other day for I think $2 or $3, maybe $3.50. But it's just a really solid, like Wonder Boy inspired, very heavily Wonder Boy inspired, like Metroidvania situation. In like the trailer I watched, and I watched it a couple times because I kept like, when you see still screenshots, it looks very like kind of 8-bit and almost like janky. You know how sometimes you play like an indie retro game and you're just like, yeah, it's cool, but it's like, it's a little like too retro jank for me to fully enjoy, where like I was maybe a little bit worried about this one. But after watching like the trailer, I was like, man, there's like some cool like dash mechanics are thrown in. Like there's some pretty cool like platforming. They're like chaining these like attacks into one another, where like, you know, as much as I love the Wonder Boy games, I really love just kind of like meandering through the games in that series. Like they don't get too challenging, especially the earlier ones, like the one, I think it's Wonder Boy 4 or Monster Boy 4 or whatever it's called, on Genesis. Like I tend to kind of default to that as like my favorite, just because I love the music, the art style and everything. But this game kind of just like ups the combat situation just a little bit. Nothing crazy, but it just makes things like a little bit more enjoyable and engaging as you're just kind of ripping back and forth through the lands. So I've been enjoying kind of playing through the first opening bits of that one. I've only played like maybe an hour or so, and I was actually thinking about streaming it last night, but it was kind of like something, I was actually having some audio issues, which is kind of why I like to do these like kind of pre, like, you know, screening playthroughs to just see if it's something that's speaking my language. But for another game that I fired up for a little bit. Is called ITA, I think is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's ITTA. And actually, our buddy Glenn, who plays in a band with John and I, picked this up like ages and ages ago when he and I were like really into Enter the Gungeon. And he and DJ and I would like talk about our accomplishments in Enter the Gungeon left and right. And this is like a very similar game, at least in gameplay, like top down bullet hell twin stick shooter. You got a dodge roll mechanic. I haven't played very much of this, but it has more of like a little bit of like what's the name of that game? I'm drawing such a blank right now. Hyper Light Drifter. It's got a little bit of that, like kind of not, that's not even quite the right vibe, but it's got that really like tiny pixel, like really detailed art style. It's got like, you know, this really like lush greenery and water pools everywhere, but everything's like kind of mysterious. It's like a little bit of a wasteland, and it almost seems like it's a little bit of like a boss rush type thing. It seems like I'm going through like little sequences, talking to people. I've fought like just a boss or two so far. Were you about to say something there, John?
No, I was trying to remember if it was Children of Morta, if that was the game that also had like really small pixel art, hyper detailed, but like that had a ton of color in it, whereas Hyper Light Drifter was a lot narrower in like its color palette. Where is it closer to one or the other?
It's very like green and blue, like kind of really like luscious to me. It feels like, at least in this opening setting, you know, I don't know if it changes. There's like some grays and like stones and stuff like that too. But it's like very, it feels like you're in kind of like a mountain forest kind of setting with some, you know, quite a bit of water flowing all over the place, but also very like deserted. Like there's not a lot going on. But you're just kind of like, I don't know, just something about like the way that the world is laid out. It just like pulls you down the path that you're supposed to be traveling on. It's just something about the sound design, again, because I was like setting this up and trying to like see, okay, is this a game I'd be interested in streaming and like checking the levels and stuff. Like I had the headphones on, so I was getting like really kind of sucked into the just soundscape and sound design. Like, you know, there's like a lot of like waterfalls and just hearing that water flowing, but just like the gameplay itself, like getting into the even the very first boss battle, it's like, you know, it wasn't like brutally challenging, but it definitely was, you know, it was no cakewalk of getting through this, you know, first battle. Just starts throwing like crazy bullet hell patterns at you right away. So I had a pretty good time with that one. And then the game that I really wanted to kind of give a shout out to, which I'm kind of mad at myself at this point for not having picked it up sooner. It's called Jetboard Joust. And this is a game that I'd seen on like social media or wherever else a bunch of times from the developer posted. And I was like, oh, this game looks sweet. But I was like, I don't really play games on my PC, so I never picked it up. And then it launched on Switch, and I just put it on my wish list, never picked it up. And then I think I had even read somewhere, like I'd read some reviews, and like somebody mentioned like the controls being a little bit annoying. And I just, for some reason in my brain, I was like, oh, I could see how that would get, I could see how that could not play very well. And in action, like it looks cool in action, but maybe I wouldn't like it that much. But today I was like, that's $2. This is the cheapest I've ever seen it. I'm just going to snag it. And I played like four or five, like, you know, quote unquote runs. It's more of an arcade game, but it does, it has some roguelike elements as well.
Nice.
Where you're getting some procedural generation and stuff like that. But you basically play as this, like, it's a side scrolling, like shoot 'em up, and kind of like in that, I think a Defender is the name of the game, where like the screen, you know, if you keep going to the right, it just kind of scrolls like the map's continuously looping or whatever. And you basically just, ride around on this jetboard. And the quote unquote weird thing about the controls is like, you have to actually like, you basically just have 360 control with the joystick. Like it's a side scrolling perspective. And then you're just pressing, like you start on the ground and then you press up and that kind of like lifts you off the ground. And then you don't necessarily need to keep pressing up at all times, but like if you let go of up, you'll slowly start falling back down to the ground. So you kind of have to always be like essentially pressing a direction to kind of like be steering you. But then if you start shooting, that keeps you stationary in that position. Like at first I was thinking it was going to be more of like a twin stick, you know, like point to the left or right, and you could, but you have to actually be like pointing your character in the direction that you're firing, which is takes a little bit of getting used to because you're moving around a ton. And a lot of times you're trying to like run away from an enemy, but you want to be shooting them, but you got to kind of turn around. You got to like learn how to kite these specific enemies. But like, I feel like, I don't know how to explain it, but like the trailer, like again, like I was enticed by the gameplay and everything, but doesn't really do justice to like how slick this game is. I like just everything about like all the little detailed animations and the menu, the opening like cutscene sequence, the just the presentation in every single way. I was just really impressed for like kind of a, like, you know, a, you know, cheapo arcade game that I picked up. Even normal price, it's only $10. So it's not like it's like some, you know, it's something more that I would expect from like a $15 or $20 game. Not to put like right. price tags or limitations on that kind of thing either. But like, I just was really impressed. And like I said, I'm mad at myself. It's not the right word, but I was just like, man, I can't believe how good this game is. This is probably one of the better like $2 purchases I've made in a while. I know I've shout out nice. Games that I snag in that price range all the time, but this is one of the ones that I was like, this is going to stick with me as like a game that I'm really looking forward to playing some more. As the game, I was like, this is the next game I'm streaming next time I get a chance. So
nice.
Yeah, really, really awesome stuff. So, I mean, I've been firing up a few other random things, but I think we're going to keep it on the shorter and sweeter side on this episode here. So why don't I kick it over to John for some of the stuff that you've been kind of replaying or kicking around lately.
So, yeah, I've been playing a lot of games on the Steam Deck recently. And when I initially got it, was downloading a lot of games that I was like, OK, well, I need to, you know, test these games out because I know how they run or how I'm used to playing them, or games that I just want to have access to at all times. Because even though mm-hmm. it was a pretty big memory from what I'm used to, I still filled that up real quick because oh, yeah. games on Steam are a lot bigger than a lot of the games that are on Switch. Just mm-hmm. by
they definitely figure out how to like cram as much into as little as they can. Yeah.
Do
yeah.
they do Steam Deck versions like for the download files? Is that a thing?
Ooh, I don't think so. I'm going to not be able to describe it. Mikey described it to me, but he was, you know, smart in computer stuff. And yeah. there's something with like shaders where yeah. it's like kind of that aspect is cloud based, where it uploads you whatever yours is, or it downloads the most recent version from the cloud that someone else has uploaded. I don't know what wow. this means. It's just something that apparently like offloads a ton of the computing power on sure. the Steam Deck. So like that's like the main reason. So like the games themselves, I think, are exactly the same files. It's just certain yeah. parts of setting gets to be, or like memory gets to be offloaded.
Oh, that's
or
awesome.
At least lessened.
That probably helps okay. with battery too, potentially. That's pretty cool.
Oh, man. Although I put that battery through its paces just by was like, I'm going to be playing Monster Hunter World and using up like constant like online pinging. And yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so for a while I was keeping it pretty like minimalist on what I had on or like saved on the thing. And I was like, okay, well, I know I'm going to play Katamari Damacy, so I'm just going to download that like forever. And other games that, you know, were some of my favorite games of all time, in addition to some where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to try out Tales of Arise and like, mm-hmm. I'll put that on there. But that takes up a huge mm-hmm. chunk. I was a little overly ambitious with how many Yakuza games I was going to play right off the bat. So let's start offloading those so that I can put something else on it. But I did get a terabyte SD card.
Yeah.
Which nice.
Meant I just threw caution to the wind and started downloading everything and anything.
As
I
was you like, do. Yeah.
Even that terabyte these days can fill up pretty quick depending on what you're downloading.
Yeah.
Like, you're downloading like NBA 2K and stuff like that. Forget mm-hmm. about it.
200 gigs alone, stuff
but
like
I at least yep. get a, like, have a little bit of a, like, digital mm-hmm. backlog, whereas like, all right, I'm gonna have an access and I'm gonna play these games like highest priority first.
Yeah.
And yeah. a couple of those games that I've talked about on the podcast before, one of them I wanted to play, but I still have not figured out the correct settings, and apparently no one on the internet has the same issues I'm having. So I've not wow. been able to play my beloved Dark Souls 2 again. So I've had wow. to resort to having to play Dark Souls 3 like a chump. But man, I love that series. It's still good. And I do appreciate that I've gotten better at the series as a whole, in addition to, you know, playing hundreds of hours of every iteration of that series and into Elden Ring, even more so than that, in a way that, like, actually makes me appreciate Dark Souls a lot more. Well, like Elden Ring, I think, is a more enjoyable moment to moment thing where it's like you're never, there's always something else to do. So yeah. If you're ever running up your head against a wall, you can always just say, I'm putting this down and I'm coming back to this later, which is very useful. But at the same time, having something so direct and with no middle space between it and like any of the Dark Soul games, it is just, here's a room with 20 guys, figure out how to beat them. It's like just that over and over again. And like,
yeah,
I kind of appreciate that now, like going from Elden Ring and being like, yeah, this is kind of no fat. Like there's only just like puzzle room or danger situation. And the nice thing about replaying them, because this is the first time I've ever replayed a Dark Souls game, is like going in and being like, oh, I know all the cheap tricks in this room. And so I don't have to like waste a like death because I'm like, nah, there's a dude there. I know there's a dude there that's going to kill me. So I can like clear out all the enemies without tricking like another one's aggro, or I can go into a room where I'm like, I don't remember what happened in here, but I remember it was a bad time, so I'm gonna be super careful in this. And like, that's nice. It's kind of nice to play through a game, and like I've been talking a lot about this in all the games that I've been replaying recently, where it's like, I really love learning a geography of a place or just what happens or the story beats of a thing. And it's really comforting to do that. So even though the moment to moment in Dark Souls is a lot of me just like swearing under my breath, like I feel more competent and I'm feeling more comfortable in it as a series, which is why people do New Game Plus, even though I've never beaten a single goddamn Dark Souls game. But it's fun and I'm enjoying it, and I'm hoping that one day I'll get to play Dark Souls 2 again. But
mostly handheld or docked when we're playing these? What are we doing mostly?
Mostly docked. Any handheld one is like a game like Monster Hunter World, where I'm just chilling out. And Lonely Mountain Downhill, I do a lot handheld as well.
But
the other game, which I have not been playing handheld, but I've talked about on this podcast before, is Final Fantasy VII Remake.
I was wondering if that was, I knew you mentioned it briefly. I was like, is that on the list here?
Oh, it's on the list. And man, I love that game. It's real fun. And similarly, where now I've not beaten that game, but I had played it once before, like a fair amount through, and kind of, that helped me ignore a lot of my bad habits in video games, where it's like, oh, I'm exploring every like single area, trying to comb every item box everything. And playing it through this time, I was like, no, there's not enough to do here, or I've done everything. I've exhausted all of the things. I can just move the plot ahead and get to the next point when I can do that. And that makes the game speed along so much faster.
That's such a freeing feeling too. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in an RPG like that.
Yeah. And like, that's what I do with Tales of Symphonia, a game I replay all the time, is like, yeah, I know exactly how much each like segment takes, and I can just kind of push through it without having to run around grinding or whatever, or know that I'm like, like if I stay around here, I'll be over leveled for the next area and then it won't be fun. So it's like kind of all changing the difficulty on the fly, being like, yeah, I'll just push forward, and if I die, I die. Like that makes it a little bit more fun. But again, that's a thing that you can only do after you've played the game once. So.
Right.
But that's how I play games, is I tend to replay the same games over and over again. And I haven't done that with a lot of games that I've talked on this podcast for, because I've played these games once for the podcast, and then I've gone and replayed the other games that I've replayed 100 times. So like, I don't know, this has been fun for me to come back and be like, yeah, I really like these games. Oh, these are still great. I love this feeling.
have like a new batch of games to replay. Cause they, yeah, like for me, I'm always like, let me go back to Super Mario World and like a few other games that I'm always replaying. So like, it is kind of fun when like I have like a new platformer, like, man, maybe Grapple Dog is going to be like a new like platformer that I just like play every once in a while that I, you know, really like or something like that.
Yeah. And Doom 2016 was the kind of the previous generation of games that I was like, oh, I'm going to replay this a million times. And I was like, oh, I still have this. I still do this habit all the time of replaying the same thing over and over again. But it's new now.
Yeah, yes, that's so true. That because there's something different about, as much as I love like playing, you know, quote unquote, replaying a roguelike and doing like run after run and like down well that, you know, keeps it fresh and everything like that. Like there is something totally different about like, let me just play this game that I know front to back, or even if you don't know it front to back, but like have, you know, vague recollections of the experience and can experience it again. Like that's such a cool.
We've mentioned it. I got to replay Chasm. Really see if that hits where that lands on like the hitting is like, is it more of a roguelike or is it more of, you know, getting a fresh experience or like changing a difficulty and in a like a game that you know the beats of.
I know I did stream it a second time, like, you know, starting from scratch after we had talked about it on the podcast. And like, I never beat it the first time around, and I never played much of it the second time around. I maybe just played it that one stream and one more session or something. But it definitely was like, okay, it's a new layout for sure. It's not like I just have it memorized, but it wasn't like, oh man, totally different opening area. It's just like, okay, new same opening area, just with different hallways. Different
I mean, yeah, that's Rogue Legacy. Like that's pretty
right. Exactly.
Especially with Rogue Legacy 2 when they added, it used to be just the four areas and then Rogue Legacy 2 added at least two more. And it was pretty great. I was like, oh yeah, it's the same thing, but in a different layout. And great.
Great formula.
Video games are great. Too.
Yeah, video games are great. You said replaying Final Fantasy VII. Are you talking about replaying it from the original to remake or replaying remake in that case?
Replaying remake.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, because I had played, I don't know, maybe 60 hours of the remake, which for me.
I remember you talking about it, but I have like such a vague recollection of that.
Yeah, same.
It's a weird one. It's so like, but it was so funny. Like I was replaying it and I was like, in my memory, I also hadn't really remembered much about it. And then Lauren was in the room and she was like, oh, I remember this cutscene. And I was like, yeah, this person did this. And I was like, how do you remember this?
That's funny. Lauren time traveling.
Yeah. What's it like to have good memory?
I don't know. Any more stuff to throw in here, John, or you want to kick it over to Randall for?
I was going to come up with it. No, we're just cut this. Oh, this is bullshit. I was going to come up with a stupid fucking pun about it. Takes three, but whatever.
It takes three to tango, baby. Oh, my goodness.
All right, I'll take that baton. I'll pick it up off the ground. And put it back
together.
Bury
me with it.
Yeah.
It Takes Two. This is a game that's been on my radar for a while. Came out in 2021. Hazelight Studios, EA published, which I can't say there's many of those sort of games that catch my interest.
Yeah.
You know, over the last generation or two, especially. But, you know, always looking for like, okay, what's that like co-op experience that's going to be great? What's something really designed around co-op, which you don't get that much of that, you know, it's still generally what you're going to get most of the time is like, you know, at best is the Super Mario Wonder sort of approach where it's really a single player game, but we're also making sure you can have a good time for a co-op or multiplayer, right?
Yeah. Or if not that, it's like an overcooked kind of game these days. It seems like that's kind of like the, okay, couch co-op, like chaos is
I'm
like
not here
of
for
the,
that. That stress level. That's
not, me either.
Not what I'm fitting to do. And, you know, and it's been a while since Chippendale Rescue Rangers came out on NES that, you know, had more of a two-player focus. So it's been a minute. So, yeah, It Takes Two, but it was like a full-price game. So I also was like, oh, let me be patient about this. I don't have to just grab it immediately. But I did eventually. And took a while for Tina and I to boot it up on Xbox. But yeah, co-op experience, I'm trying not to go too spoilery on it, but I will kind of, I do want to set the stage a little bit. We actually tried to start this back in, you know, back, I think maybe even the year or year after it came out, you know, not too long. COVID still, you know, it still is a thing, but it was very much, you know, everything like still lockdown, back when this came out. And, you know, in a different era in a lot of ways, in some respects, mental health and perspectives and things like that. It was just hard to start a game where, spoilers, I guess, part of the premise that this is all built around is a divorce of of parents with, like, this young girl, you know, who's, you know, going to see her, seeing her parents bicker and fight all the time. And they're just tearing each other apart. And like, you're seeing from her perspective, like how sad she is. It's just like this young, like elementary school kid. And you're like, geez, man, I thought this was going to be this fun.
What happened to couch co-op?
What am I doing? Seriously. Like, can we?
Wow.
And Tina's like, I don't think I've got this in me yet. And I'm like, yeah, I'm with you. This is like, there's lighter things we could do at the moment. We have this, we can come back to this. So we didn't even make it through like the first like intro set of cut scenes without this being like, man, this is heavy. This is supposed to be like a platformer game. And then so you push forward another year or so. And I'm like, yeah, what about that It Takes Two game? Sure did win a lot of awards. It seems like a co-op game we should probably check out. Like, what if maybe we're near the end of all that kind of sort of traumatic cutscene stuff that happens there at the front side, although certainly they intersperse more of it a little bit, but it's pretty front loaded so far from my experience.
Okay.
We saw the rest of that intro and power through. We're very brave, so we could play the game. But so then essentially the premise, once you get past the whole awful traumatic divorce kid stuff, is, you know, these parents get shrunk down and like turned into like these figurines or dolls, basically, that this kid has created. And it is kind of like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids perspective, I guess, with the characters. Yeah. Like, you know, you're very small in like a normal sized world, and you're kind of having to get around and navigate, you know, that way. Although you still can like double jump, and, you know, you have some movement capabilities that are more than you would if you were just, you know, an action figure or something, I guess. It's not full out Toy Story that way or whatever, but you know, there's more mobility options, but a lot of puzzle solving in It Takes Two, which is really great so far. This is still early impressions. I think we've only put in, I don't know, a few hours. You know, you know, we've even died in boss battles and stuff. So it's, you know, there's a challenge there. But most of the focus before you get to any boss battles is kind of navigating through a level. One example is kind of like you're in like a shed or something like that initially, and you're kind of going through and you're going around, you know, discarded paint cans and oil stuff and whatever else, and making your way up on workbenches and things like that. And it's like, there's a lot of, you know, split screen, like, okay, let my character go over and hold this button down, which opens like a door or pathway that the other character walks through. And then they flip a switch that then allows you to let go of the button and go through. You know, there's a lot of that sort of stuff going on.
Okay.
And a lot of environmental puzzles, I guess. And it's pretty good where, you know, you're not having to do a lot of guessing necessarily, but it's also not just being like, hey, right here, look right here, over here, like push this thing, knucklehead. It's like, I feel like there's a nice little middle ground there where it's not holding your hand too hard on that stuff, although after a while the characters will even in the midst of their like bickering at each other or whatever will be like, why don't you go like look at that button over there, you know, knucklehead, and then stuff like that will happen. So it's been good so far. It's gotten kind of challenging, you know, even within the first two or three hours. It's like, oh, shoot, like we tried to play this again and, you know, we might not have, you know, had the easiest day, and there's not enough mental energy to like do this, you know, action-y you know, set of platform challenges in that we both have to do at the same time to get through this certain section or whatever. So,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's like you gain abilities and stuff over time. I won't get too much into detail on those to not spoil stuff. But, you know, they're adding layers to it as you go on. It seems like there's quite a bit of meat on that bone as far as this game's concerned. There seems like there's a lot there. But yeah, we came up against a little bit of a soft wall, I suppose. But we're probably going to boot it up again, you know, after we get off our Diablo kick that we've been on otherwise on the Ooh. Xbox lately.
Nice. Yeah, it's just cool to see like a co-op game with this kind of production value.
Yeah.
You never see like essentially a triple A.
I know.
Co-op game. I shouldn't say never, but it's pretty rare. And if it is, it's not usually like a random new IP, you know, just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely cool to see, and it does look pretty action-packed. Like, when I saw some of the trailers, I was like, this is not at all the game I was anticipating based Same. On what I had heard about it. I was kind of picturing something more along the lines of, like, Brothers, Tale of Two Sons or something like that.
Right.
Gameplay-wise, you know, and it seemed like it was like, oh, this is not at all like that. Maybe thematically a little bit similar, because I remember that game had kind of a sad moment as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just plenty of action elements, and although you know the boss battles, while challenging, have still been pretty fun and engaging. Like I guess the one other spoiler I'll give is like the first one's you fighting a vacuum cleaner and like
oh nice
you know so and it's a it's like you discarded me and left me in the shower. How dare you, like, you know, so then you know
yeah
you got to pick up one of its like vacuum nozzle arms and like point it and like reverse the polarity where it's like shooting out instead of sucking in, and then like you know there's like a whole another hose over here, and so one character is like sucking up things that the other character is like aiming to shoot back at the enemy, and you know all the while like stuff's spraying down on you that you've got to avoid, and you know, so it's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far despite challenge and thematic difficulties.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely sounds up my alley. Like, if it was something, like, I don't really have a good, like, couch co-op pal now that I'm living in Michigan, but if I did, I'd be like, oh, I don't know if it has online co-op.
I don't know either. That's a good question.
Yeah, I almost feel like a game that, like, leans so heavily on that, it almost has to have
you
it.
You would imagine, yeah.
Especially being from EA, but yeah.
You kind of have to, almost.
Yeah.
But maybe not. Nintendo didn't for a long time, so
yeah. Arguably still doesn't, but
yeah.
Getting there. They're getting back
little by little
better. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm curious to hear more about this one if you guys keep seeing it through, because I do, you know, I'd be curious to hear how like even the story elements wrap up, because it sounds like it's got a little bit of that like Up or even some of the later like Toy Story movies
for get sure.
like, a little heavier like that, so
it definitely does.
Yeah.
Like who bickers at their significant other like this? Obviously, a lot of people must.
Yeah, jeez, yeah, man, not to laugh at that, but yeah. but I don't know any more video games or traumatic experience chit chat we want to talk about before we wrap this one up tonight, guys.
I'm good.
Save it for next time.
Sounds good. Well, yeah, I guess we'll wrap it up there for this week. And as always, you can find us on the internet at pursuingpixels.com. Pretty much anywhere else that you can find us on the internet, just look up Pursuing Pixels. And otherwise, we will catch you next week. And until then, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I don't know.
Never mind. So they're talking very calmly up there, and I think I might have been picking up the neighbor girl kids screaming potentially. So I'm like, this is not. I think Fiona might have had a little flare up about like shower bath time, but they're talking calmly and getting ready to sleep. So yeah,
okay, nice.
What I was hearing was not her. So
Or they're glad to gaslighting you. Every time that dad leaves, scream.
glad to hear. Podcast night.
Glad to hear, though. I'm glad to hear she's all as well.
Yeah, we're all right.